Okay, well, welcome everyone. Zadie, Marina, Gloria, Lonnie, Paul, Henry, John, and Toby. Here we go. So we find ourselves on the top of Chavdalid Amud Aleph 24a. And okay, well, even though we technically start on top of 24a, if you don't mind just joining me on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom 23b. Because rather than start with the Gemara, we should really just quickly review the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to be elaborating on. Just two main things to look forward to for tonight. Number one, we are going to be talking about if and when one may skip from one section to another section when reading the Torah and when re reading the Haftarah as well. Then we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah. You can see it's a little over halfway down Chaf Daled Amud Aleph. We're going to be talking about a child, a person who's blind, and a very interesting category called a pocheach, someone who may not be dressed in the most appropriate fashion. What they may be permitted to lead for davening. So again, these are very halacha lemaisa, very practical gemaras here. I'm not saying the gemaras necessarily give us a clear halacha conclusion. Certainly, we don't have clear halacha conclusions on many of these things, but I'll do my best to fill you in on what they are. So here we go. Bottom of Chaf Gimel and Beis, reviewing the Mishnah. The minimum length of an aliyah is three psukim. And remember, we talked about how they didn't have the art scroll stone chumash back then, so they had a guy translate pasuk by pasuk for the Torah, and for Nevi'im, every three psukim they would pause, and he would translate and summarize those three psukim. Now, let's say the three psukim are three separate ideas, so then. You can't, then you have to translate it one after the other, even for Sifrei Nevi'im, even for the Haftarah. Medallagim and Navi be Torah. Now, as we see many times in Navi, we can skip from one section to another. We'll incorporate, different pieces of Navi into the, we'll append to the Haftarah. And, we do this many times because we want to end certain Haftorahs on a lighter, more uplifting note. But Kamu now, to what, how much can one skip? Because remember, back then, they didn't have the printed Haftorah books that we have where it just puts all the psukim in order for us that we need. If they needed to append psukim to the end of a Haftorah, they actually needed to roll the scroll to get there. So how much can you roll? Akanishal. So remember, the Meturgaman is translating every three psukim. If you're able to roll fast enough that the Meturgaman is still in the middle of translating while you are rolling, then it's okay. However, if there's going to be excess time where he's not translating and everyone just twiddling their thumbs, Rashi explained to us, She'ain kavod tzibor la'amod sham b'shtika. It's not respectful to everyone who's present that they're just supposed to twiddle their thumbs and wait while they're rolling the Torah. So this, by the way, you see this in Yoma as well. We're actually going to reference the Mishnah in Yoma very soon in the Gemara. We see that this is an idea that comes up. One of the paradigmatic cases of tircha tzibura imposing on the congregation's time is not, having to roll the Torah on the spot. So as I said in the past, sometimes I remember one time in the sanctuary, I think we had a confusion about who the Baal Kori was, and someone was like running through the building trying to find whoever the Baal Kori was for the day. So I just gave my sermon. I was in a sanctuary that week, so I had no choice, otherwise everyone's just going to twiddle their thumbs. So I had to give the sermon while they were trying to track down the Baal Kori. Then everyone, then 75% of the rest of the folks show up later during Musaf, and they're like, "Oh, no sermon today. We got off easy." So little did they know. All right.
I think you found me that week, if I remember correctly.
What was that, Henry?
I think you found me in the hall or something.
Oh, it must have been you that day. You know what? I think this happened more than once, actually. But yeah, you're right. One of those times you'll even though it's not the same without you, you'll be proud. We had some young people move into the community recently who are taking on some lane roles. So these are shoes that we can fill, but to be proud that the legacy is being continued. All right, here we go. Honey Gimel Psukim, Kenegin Me. So why is the minimum length of an Aliyah 3 Psukim? Amravasi, Kenegin Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, because it corresponds to the tripartite division of the Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im and Suvim, Torah Prophets and the Writings. Good. Next. V'layikra L'maturiwen Yosem Pasuk Echad, U'benavi Shosh Psukim, so we're quoting from our Mishnah that the Maturi Gemara for the Torah translates pasuk by pasuk for Sifrei Nevi'im for the Haftorah. It is every 3 psukim. He can even go up till. However, if it's 3 separate ideas, then it has to be pasuk by pasuk even for Sifrei Nevuah. Kagon. Okay, here's an example of that. Kicho Amar Hashem Hinamim Kartem. So God laments that the Jewish people, they're just being sold off for nothing, for no profit. The next pasuk tells us how the Jewish people initially went down to Egypt. And then God says, and look at what we have here now. Look what's going on. So you look over there. I think this is Yeshayahu, right? It's Yeshayahu. I mean, it's always a good guess. If you don't know where the Haftorah is from, just say Yeshayahu. Chances are you probably got it right. where my Torah or people. Yeah. Yeshayahu. This is actually the Haftorah Parsha Shof. Well, that's why it sounds familiar to me. Huh. It's my Bar Mitzvah. 52.3.
Yeah, 52.3-5.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was wondering if something sounded familiar. It's my Bar Mitzvah Torah. Okay. Yeah, I haven't laid my Bar Mitzvah Torah in many years. I think because, like, there's other people who have shoftim at the shul, and, you know, they either sponsor a kiddush or they get it first. But it's fine. I you guys hear me talk enough as it is. All right. Here we go. Medallion, now we've got Medallion, but Torah. So this is going to be everything's interesting. Interesting section. So here we go. We said in our Mishnah that we can roll the scroll for Sifrei Nevuah, but in the Torah, we do not skip from section to section. We're a minhi, but this is contradicted from the Mishnah in Yoma, which is talking about the reading of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This Mishnah in Gemara, again, is very well known because the Kohen Gadol, he would first read, well, actually, you know what? Why don't I just tell you what it says in the Gemara? Kori Achremos va'achba asor, v'akam adalik. So the Kohen Gadol, he was first read in Achremos, which is in Sefer, v'yikra, and then he would go all the way to Bamidbar. So what he would actually do is he wouldn't even, you see, this is the funny thing. You don't even roll the Torah. He actually does it by heart, so that it's a little unclear if it's a Tirchut Zibur issue. This isn't the best question.
It's from Achremos to Emor, so it's pretty close, actually.
Oh, fair point. But nonetheless, you know, You look in the Gemara there in Yoma. It's, and by the way, you ever wonder, what's the minimum shear? What's the minimum amount of time they have to waste in order for it to be considered Tirchut Zibur? Anyone know? So it can be even a second. How do I know that? It's the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch so says that when you get an Aliyah, you're supposed to keep the Torah open and you look to the side so it doesn't look like you're reading the brachos from the Torah itself. Now, why leave the Torah open when you get your Aliyah? The Gra says it very tersely, but the Mishabur elaborates on this. The Gra says because it's an issue of Tirchut Tzibura. It's a lack of Kavanat Tzibur. Well, like a coveted Tzibur. Well, you know, we have some experienced laners with us, right? We got Henry, we got Judd with us. If anyone else is a Balkur, you'll forgive me, but you can raise your hand. So, you know, we have very experienced laners. But if you close the door and reopen it, it always takes a second or two to reorient yourself and find the place. So even those few seconds for an experienced Baal Kori, that's considered Tircha Yetzibura. Alach is Kama Kama, rolling all the way from one Parsha to the next, even if, you know, like Henry said, they're closer in proximity. Toby, you have a hand up? Want to just unmute? You have to unmute. You have to do it on your end.
Sorry. Yeah. So today, you know, when we skip around, it's generally like on a yontif, when, you know, you're reading up until a point, and then now it's a special reading for the holiday, and we usually do it from a separate Sefer Torah. Mm-hmm. Is that the equivalent, like, instead of rolling?
Yeah, that's precisely why. Having the second Torah avoids the issue of having to spend time rolling. And now, again, you know, it may take a second to unwrap the Torah, but
it takes a lot more than a second. I mean, we have a whole, we close the one Torah, then we open the other Torah. Yeah. But so when did that start?
How early?
I mean, it just seems like it renders a lot of this discussion moot.
Oh, interesting. Because you're saying it takes time anyway to take out the second Sefer Torah. Yeah, it's a good point. There is an assumption. I mean, there's a stronger question you could ask on the Gemara, which is, why is it that the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, if he's not allowed to roll the Torah, why didn't they just prepare a second Torah for him? That's a question that gets asked. Right.
Well, that's exactly kind of what happened. Yeah, well, right? Maybe back then they didn't have so many Sifrei Torah. It wasn't, you know, so easy to come by.
So there's a number of answers given why the Kohen was in the... Because you think about it, like, the Kohen based on Mikdash could get away with this on Yom Kippur, no less. Kava, regular shul on a typical Shabbos, why not? There's a number of answers that are given. One answer that's given is that the Kohen Gadol, the reading that he did on Yom Kippur, was his personal obligation as opposed to the congregation's obligation. So in general, the Tzibor, you see, like, you could ask, where did I sign on to this? Is Mochel... the minute it takes to get out the second Sefer Torah and in order to get to the Maftir. Whereas the Kohen Gadol, it was his personal obligation. And so it wouldn't be right for him, in order to be Yotze's personal obligation, to impose on the congregation's time. There's never been other answers that are given. I don't remember all of them offhand, but Paul, you got your hand up there?
Yeah, if it's a Tircha de Tzibur that the Baal Kori will lose his place between the Bracha and Laning, why is it okay to close the Sefer Torah at the end of the Aliyah?
Well, the end of the Aliyah, probably as a sign of respect, I'd presume. Generally being Gavra LeGavra, we're supposed to close the Torah because then you're making a Misha Berach and then you're calling someone else up. So the Torah is not being used. Whereas when you get called up to the Torah, you get shown the place and you're making the Bracha on the Torah. But since other, you know, things get done... Also, by the way, it's actually a service to the Tzibor to close the Torah between Aliyos, because it's actually usher to leave shul when the Torah is open. So the fact that we close it between Aliyos and cover it actually enables someone who needs to leave for whatever reason in between Aliyos, it permits them to leave the shul. Otherwise, one can never leave shul from the beginning of laning all the way till the end.
That applies to women also?
Applies to women also. It's Kavanah Torah applies to men and women. See, like, we got more equality than they give us credit for. Okay. All right. So let's get into the Gemara. Here we go. Medallion of the Medallion of Torah. So it seems that we never skip sections of the Torah. Remini Koreachri Masbachos Torah. Come Medallion. We see in Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol skips from Sefer VaYikra to Sefer BaMidbar. So how do I make sense of the Gemara Mishnah Yoma, which seems to indicate that we can't skip from section to section in Kriyas HaTorah? Amar Abayi, Lo Kasha, Kan B'deish Yisuk HaTorgamon, Kan B'deish Lo Yisuk HaTorgamon. So Abayi wants to say that the difference is that, you know, like Henry, like you pointed out, it's not such a long roll. So maybe the guy who's translating the Psukim just does so with the gusto. And the people who are rolling the Torah know what they're doing. They go really fast. And that's why it would be permissible to skip from section to section in the case of Kriya Satora on Yom Kippur. The thing is, that still won't reconcile the Mishnah in Yoma with our Mishnah here in Megillah. Why? Falagadani, Medalag Menavi, the Amedalag Torah, the Kanahomedalag, Akadishal Yisra Torgamon. Mechlal, it was our Klaklalo. So, from the fact that the Mishnah, our Mishnah, tells us that for Sifri Nevuah, for books of the prophets, you can skip as long as the guy is still translating the initial three psukim that were just read, that indicates, since we didn't give that dispensation for Torah reading, that for Torah reading, you can never skip from section to section, even if the guy is still middle of translation. That provision is only given for Sifrei Nevuah. So what is going on Yom Kippur that he's allowed to skip from section to section? Which again, I haven't seen any of the Farshim deal with this. I don't understand the Gemara's question, because on Yom Kippur, he's not actually skipping, he's not rolling the Torah. He's saying it by heart, the Sefer Bamidbar. So it's a footnote. Like, I'm making a footnote over here. I didn't see any of the Mefarshim. I can't say I exhaustively went through like all the Mefarshim. I didn't. But I haven't seen anyone who deals with that issue. Do you guys hear what troubles me about that? Should I explain it? If the issue of rolling is Tirchot Tzibura, and we're saying, oh, we see that you are allowed to roll from section to section, there's no concern Tirchot Tzibura, because in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does it. The Kohen doesn't actually roll from section to section. He actually, they put away the Torah. He holds the Torah, and he says, I'm going to tell you the rest by heart. So it's unclear to me why that's such a good kasha. But anyway, that's what the Gemara assumes. Henry, you look like you had something. No? Okay. So Elamar Abaye, look kasha. You are allowed to skip from section to section as long as it's within the same topic, the same theme. So in Yom Kippur, you can skip from Achrimos to Achbasur. You go from Vayikra to Bamidbar, because it's all under the same theme of the Yom Kippur laning. However, if you just want to append something else from Kriya Satar, from another Parsha, I was going to say Shemitah eats on her Sinai, but that, obviously it's not right. But you want to just append two things from the Torah together that you can't skip for. But Tanya, we have a Bryce that supports this. So when it comes to Kriya Satori, you're only allowed to skip from section to section when it's within the same theme. However, in Sifrei Nevuah, you're even allowed to skip from section to section from one theme to the other theme. And that's how we do it with the Haftorah. We go from a theme of being downtrodden to a theme of hope and uplifting. So Kadukam, but they shall use a Kadatorium. But still, the same rule applies to both Sifrei Nevuah and the Kriya Satorah. You're only allowed to skip from section to section so long as the guy is still translating. Otherwise, people are not being entertained. People get upset. They didn't have all those different Parsha packets that we put in the back of the shul for people to read. They didn't have the Jewish link. They didn't have the journal with them. They didn't have whatever other resources they have with them. So, you can argue today we have also all these forms of entertainment to keep us busy. Maybe it's not as big of a tirchot tzibura. Tzarechi and what you're allowed to bring into shul to begin with. But as I've said, my biggest fight should be getting people to, not read the newspaper during davening. But honestly, if it keeps some people quiet, that's not where we're at. All right. Finally, Tanya Ibach, one last point, another braisa. We don't skip from one section of Navi from one sefer of Navi to another. The interesting question is, we have Shneimasar, which are 12 really short Sifrei Nevuah. You look at something like Ovadia, it's one parak. So, are you not allowed to skip within Shneimasar? So you can, you just can't go all the way from the beginning to the end, because that would certainly be a tirchot tzibura. But to go from one sefer to another sefer within Triasar, that would be permissible. Okay, and that brings us to the next Mishnah. Let me just pause for a moment. Were there any remaining questions that we did not address?
Rabbi, I have a question.
Yes, John.
The laning for a fast day, we skip. I think it's the only one that we actually do.
Yeah.
How does that reconcile here?
Good point, Justin. I love
it. Is it because we're fasting and we have not in a hurry to go anywhere?
I remember the first time I had to prepare laying for a fast day. And I was using the tea cup. And I was like, hey, wait a minute.
It happened to me too.
So it's like, you know, if you never actually look in the chumash or a tikkun, you might not ever notice that. So yes, so the answer I think is fits. This actually brings out the point really well that we just read in the end of the Gemara. Because the end of the Gemara says, you know what? There's an exception to the rule in our Mishnah. You are allowed to skip from section to section in the Torah as long as it's within the same inyan, the same topic. So it's within the general topic of the tshuva of Moshe getting God to forgive the Jewish people. It's not even that far. So it's definitely all within the same parsha, the same topic. And that actually is an excellent case in point of where we see this apply in Kriyas HaTorah. So thank you for bringing that up, John. Paul.
When would we skip within the Haftorah? If you look at the ties into the point on Tracer, if you're doing the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuva out of a scroll, out of the cloth, it actually, part of it's from Hosea, part of it's from Amos, and part of it's from Yoel. So if you're doing it out of a cloth, you have to roll very quickly because you're going from across three different books of Treyas. That's the only example I know of, Paul, but that's definitely one is Shabbos Shuva. According to Ashkenazi, Sfardim, I think, have a different, but for Nusach Ashkenaz on Shabbos Shuva.
Yeah, you always love, like, whenever you're looking at Art Scroll Chumash, it's happened in Shul before, where I used, like, the Red Haftorah book. And maybe it's different than, like, that old Red Haftorah book, or maybe there's two versions, but I was someone was laying Haftorah in the sanctuary, and then they just started from where Sfardim starts. But he was already going, and no one else noticed it, except for, like, one guy who made eye contact with me. And I was like, let it go. You know, it's like, he already started. It's not like he's reading from the wrong Haftorah. And, like, I'm not going to be that guy who's like, no, you got to add on 50 more psukim. So, you know, I would never tell anyone to get up there and to do the Sephardic reading. But once they're starting, I don't think it'd be appropriate to, you know, embarrassing them. And, like, for what cause? So it comes up. All right, here we go. On to the next Mishnah. Amafter Benavi, who pores al Shemav, who overs the Neatevav, who knows the Eskapav. So, okay, let's break this down. As you might recall, the Haftorah was added on during a time when there was persecution. The Jewish people were not allowed to read from the Torah, so they read from Sifrei Nevi'im as well. Instead, once we were allowed to read from the Torah again, Chazar were like, you know, it's not a bad idea, because otherwise all these yeshiva bachrim are never going to learn Nach. So, maybe we could at least learn some passages from the Sifrei Nevi'im. So we'll keep the Haftorah in. However, we're going to append the Maftir Aliyah in order to remind ourselves that Kriyas HaTorah is the real deal. And Maftorah is like the, I don't want to be irreverent, but it's like the, you know, I don't know, it's the afterthought, it's the runner-up, whatever, you know, is the proper way to put it. So people were keenly aware. You know, it's funny because nowadays, the Kriyas HaTorah, you know, you just have a rotation of the same intrepid people who prepare it each and every week. But like, hey, Haftorah, I got to chant the Haftorah. But back in the day, they're, you know, especially when everyone laid their own aliyah anyway, like, come on, you only gave me the Haftorah? You know, it's like, you gave me a glila. So it was like one of those things that people didn't find as honorable. So therefore, Chazal wanted to make sure that we're going to talk about in the Gemara, people don't get into any fights. So they would appease people who got the Haftorah by giving them another kibud, another honor, so that they don't feel slighted. Therefore, Hamafta Benavi, someone who would generally get the Haftorah, who pores al Shema, we talked about being pores al Shema, that means for people who might come in late, they'll say Kaddish Baruch Hu and the first bracha of Kriya Shema, which has Kedusha in it. He'll also have first rights to being serving as the chazan, who will lead Kedusha in Chazar Sashatz, Punosius Kapov, and he will also lead Duchening if he is a Kohen. Now you might be asking yourself a question, what does that mean, lead Duchening? Like, don't all the Kahanim lead Duchening? Right, good question. So the Turei Evan addresses this. Let's finish the Gemara first, but I want to circle back to that point. Dimayakata, now let's say a child got the Haftorah. In theory, a child get a Haftorah. In theory, we're going to see soon a child might even be able to lean from the Torah. In fact, we actually saw that in a Brisa about 2 weeks ago, which we learned that a child or woman can get an Aliyah, but we should covet a Tzibur, we don't give it to them. So Dimayakatan, so let's say it's a child, you know, the child can't lead Chazar Sashatz. Why? Because a child can't be motzi an adult, because an adult is actually chayiv. The child doesn't share the same level of obligation as an adult, so he can't be motzi the adults in the room. So therefore, in lieu of the child, aviv rabba over al yado, either his father or his teacher will fill in his stead for these honors. Katan kori b'torah. So now, once we're on the topic of children, katan kori b'torah umetargin. A child can actually lean from the Torah. Now, it's unclear whether it means that a child can actually lean from the Torah. There's some different interpretations of what we mean. So according to the Meiri, a child can actually lean Torah for the congregation, a child even under bar mitzvah, because it's all about the mitzvah Talmud Torah, and children have a connection to the mitzvah studying Torah. However, if you take a look at the Rod on the Daf Hei Arif, as is passed by the Magen Avraham, we have to parse it a little bit differently. A child can get an Aliyah, but there has to be an adult who's actually the Baal Koreh who's laning the Aliyah. And by the way, that's a similar logic we saw when we were talking about women getting an Aliyah. Because remember, we asked, what about like Kalisha? What about issues of, you know, women getting up there and laning? So one of the suggestions that Birchas Avraham gave was that the woman gets the Aliyah, but there was never a Havamina that she would actually lean from the Torah. There would have to have been a man who would have been leaning for the Tzibur to be Motzi them. So if you look actually, because we had this question come up in the, I don't know if you noticed, we had this question come up in the sanctuary recently, because we had a kid under Bar Mitzvah, I think it was it Green? I don't know. McGlory, was it something for your family? Did you have Or maybe it was a different family. Was there any member of your family, Gloria, who was on the Bar Mitzvah who leaned in the sanctuary recently, or am I making that up?
A couple of years ago.
So maybe you may have a couple of years ago. Okay. I don't know. You know who it was? It was Rob Hoff's kid. We gave him Maftir, if I'm not mistaken, but he wasn't yet Bar Mitzvah. So it actually, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, seems to be quoting from the Magen Avraham, that nowadays the only aliyah we give to a child is the maftir aliyah. So that's generally what we're knowing. Just to know for halakha maisa purposes. Okay, so anyway, back to our Mishnah. So kalagrama Torah, the child reads in the Torah, mitargin, he could translate it. No issue with translating if he knows how to translate. There's no special kiyum. There's no special fulfillment of a mitzvah by translating the Torah. So anyone can translate. Even a monkey can translate the Torah if it knew how to speak. So but he cannot be the one who leads these Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. He can't lead Baruch Hu or Kaddish. He certainly is not going to do Kedusha in Shemona Esrei. And he is not going to get up there and lead Birchas Kohanim. So again, we're going to have to understand a little bit better what it means he's not going to lead Birchas Kohanim. Like, we see children get up there with their fathers nowadays and do Birchas Kohanim. So how do we make sense of that with our Mishnah? We'll get to that as well. Next category, Pocheach. So what is a Pocheach? A Pocheach can be one of two things. Rashi tells us someone who's wearing shorts. See, as you might know, or if you don't know, now you know, the policy here at Agudas Shalom, as it is most shuls, is that if you are come to shul in shorts, we're not going to kick you out. but if you want to lead davening, you need to be wearing pants. This isn't just an arbitrary standard that was made up here in Agudas Shalom or in America, but it actually comes from here in the Mishnah that you're not, your legs are supposed to be covered. It's so that it's respectable. Some even say, understand pocheach to mean that if your shirt is torn, you know, nowadays it's in style, and if it's still in style, to wear torn jeans, torn shirts, apparently looking like you can't afford a proper pair of clothing is something to be desirable. It's beyond my comprehension. So it'd be usher to lead davening in such circumstances. So these are just arbitrary standards. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I led davening one time, and they said you can either wear a hat or you can cover your head with a talus. So I was lahafis. So I'm like, all right, I'll cover my head with a talus. I didn't want to wear the hat. So, okay, there's different standards that people make up, but this is actually on the books here in the Mishnah. Okay. So he can be poris shema mitargin. He can lead, he can be poris shema, as we talked about. Because Rashi says bracha, because in the end of the day he's chayv to make the bracha, he could translate as well. But he's not permitted to lane from the Torah. They ain't over lifnei hateva, nor can he serve as shliach sibor as a chazan. And he may not get up there in order to do birchas kohanim. So why? For each one with its own reason. But basically, it's disrespectful to the Torah, and it's disrespectful to the congregation. I remember one time when I was in college, I went, we used to do like sing a sori, where we would go to different communities, smaller communities on Shabbos, kind of like mini Torah, like Torah tours, but during the year. And like one time, I got up there to, this is where, you know, all the poor people had to hear my sermons in early days. So I got up there to give the sermons on Shavar Torah, where we were for Shabbos. And I got down, like one guy was like really angry at me. He's like, you know, your top button wasn't buttoned, your tie wasn't like in a proper position. It was disrespectful to everyone who came to hear. I'm like, okay, chill out. But, you know, there is something to dressing the part because it conveys to the people sitting there that you respect them by dressing respectively. Okay. Finally, Suma, someone who's blind. Poris Shema Matargin, he can be Poris Shema, he can also translate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is interesting. Koshal Ram Oros Binyamav, Eno Poris Al Shema, anyone who was blind from birth cannot lead Shema. Why? Because what is the first bracha of Shema? What do we acknowledge?
That you created the lights.
Right, that's Yotzer Ma'oros. God creates the lights. So how can you make that blessing if you never seen God's light? So if you're blind from birth, Rabbi Huda believes that you do not actually, you certainly cannot lead the bracha for the tzibur. Okay, end of the Mishnah. Let's just go through the Gemara and then we'll get to the Turei Evan on this. So the Gemara asked, my time. So remember, what was the first thing in the Mishnah? The first thing we learned in the Mishnah was that somebody who gets the Haftorah, in order to placate them, we give them first dibs on other honors for davening as well to, you know, make sure that they're not slighted. So my time. Rab Papa Amar Mishum Kavod. So one reason, one suggestion of why we do this is for his dignity. The second, Rab Shimi Amar, no, what do you mean? Haftorah is a great honor. You shouldn't be slighted by that. That's your problem. Rather, it's more pragmatic. Mishum da Asilan Suyin. Because he's going to start fighting. What's the fighting going to be? Well, at least back in the day, or we do now for professional chazanim, the guy who leads davening gets paid for the job. The guy who leans haftorah does not get paid for the job. So he's going to feel not just disrespected, he's going to feel like he missed out on a good financial opportunity. Why did I bother preparing to read the Haftorah when I could have just prepared and led davening instead? I could have made a profit off of it. So that will lead to machlokas. They'll start fighting with each other. So my binayu, what's the nafkamina? Like, great. We always love learning Tamei HaMitzvos. We love understanding the reasons behind what we do, but what's the practical import? This isn't a Shabbos morning sermon. It's a halacha here. So the difference is, the nafkamina is the binayu to Ave Bechinam. Let's say that shul doesn't hire people to serve for davening. You know, in some shuls, there's so many people lining up to lead davening and to do all sorts of things. You know, they need to pay us to lead the davening at some point. That is how it works. So it's not. the im haya katan aviv or rabba over an yanto. So here's the thing though. In our Mishnah, it tells us that if a child leaves the Haftorah, we still have either his father or Rebbe represent him. If the concern is that there'll be machlokis, that there'll be a fist fight that breaks out in the shul, you think a kid is going to feel he's going to start a fight over it? The kid's happy with the stuff Torah, give him the lollipop afterwards, and he'll walk out happy. It's more like you don't see the kids fight over these things in shul. You see the adults who usually fight over these things in shul. They have the bigger egos. So elamai mishum kavod. So rather, it must be that the reason that we give the shliach tzibor right to the guy who got the haftorah is not because we're afraid of a fight, because otherwise, why would we care about the katan and give it to his father or his rebbe? Rather, it's mishum kavod. Well, the Gemara asks right back, katan bar kavod who? Again, it's generally the kids aren't the ones with the big egos that feel slighted by these things. So why are we worried for the katan's kavod? He's not going to feel slighted. He's happy that we gave him anything. Eliika kavod of the kavarava. Rather, his father and rebbe are going to feel slighted. So it must be that's mishum kavod. Turning the page. Yeah, but you can just as easily read it the other way. We're concerned that the father and or his Rebbe are going to feel so distraught that their little Yakla only got the Haftorah that they're going to be up in arms as well. So, okay, basically both reasons seem to apply. Either it's because it's a slight to their dignity or it'll lead to fighting or it's a mix of both. But we understand why that's being done. And I'm not sure whether it's reassuring or concerning to see that the same kind of issues we see nowadays existed only in the times of the Talmud. But it's like Shalom Nef said, "Engel Hadash Tachis Hashemesh." There's certainly nothing new under the sun. So, all right, I want to get to just one brief point. That's the end of the Gemara for tonight. I want to get to one brief point that we saw in the Mishnah. Let me get my Turi Evan open over here. So the Turi Evan asks as follows. The question that's raised by a number of people is that it doesn't seem to make sense that the child is going to lead Birchas Kohanim. Or that anyone's going to lead, well, not the child, but anyone's going to lead Birchas Kohanim. What does that mean to lead Birchas Kohanim? So one suggestion is given in the Turi Evan, Inam Yishu Maskut Huakol Shevahem. One suggestion is that, yes, everyone says Berchas Kohanim, but there's always the one guy who has to lead Berchas Kohanim. You know, it's like, this happens all the time in shul, by the way. Like, I've gotten so much Agmas Nefesh over complaints about this. So the tune, apparently, in our shul for a long time for Berchas Kohanim has been, that's what I'm told anyway. One time for Berchas Kohanim, more than once. The one guy took, there's always like one guy who like really takes charge, and then everyone else is kind of like has to submit themselves to what the really loud guy does. So the one guy did the other tune, which I grew up on, like and then someone came over and was like, I've been here since Rabbi Aaron Kranz, we always did it this way, and like he was like, he felt like it was the end of the world, like we weren't Yotzei Berchas Kohanim or something. And then there was, what happened at the IDF actually recently for Birchas Kohanim was we only had two Kohanim up there. One, and then basically I was actually leading davening for them, so I went, shalom, and they're like, shalom, and then went straight forward. So, point being, most people I think were actually happy about that because. By raise of hands, so many of you are saying those tfilos while the Kohanim are chanting. Toby is. Okay, so my apologies to you, Toby. I tried. I tried to lead them in the right direction. Most people, from my experience, are not saying them. Not to say that we shouldn't be saying them, but I'm just saying from my own informal survey that I've done. So most people were happy. You were not the only person, Toby, who felt that they were cheated out. My point being is, nowadays, it's kind of like the Wild West. Whoever asserts themselves kind of decides the tune, or whether there is a tune even. But back then, they would actually give the honor of being the head guy who leads the team from Berakos Kohanim to a specific person, and that'd be based on the person who got the Haftorah. That's the point. That's one answer that's given.
Speaking as a Kohen,
yes.
Number one, there's a choice of what niggun you're going to use. And then the next question is, how long are you going to sing? And it gets rather ragged if somebody doesn't assume leadership. And who assumes leadership? It may be just somebody who asserts himself, maybe somebody who's the oldest Kohen or been in that minyan the longest. But people of not go up singing in a ragged fashion if you don't have somebody leading.
Absolutely. So the suggestion that might be given here that we could actually learn from the times in the Gemara is that maybe instead of leaving it up to fate, we actually could, you know, we're always looking for more kibbutim to give out. You know, there's always like more people. This guy has a yahrzeit, that guy has, you know, grandmother's dog just got engaged. So, you know, there's always some honor we need to give out. So, you know, why not an additional honor that we can give out? It'll make things smoother. All right. Add that to the ritual agenda.
But back to the question, though, of a minor. So what if the only person in the room is a child?
I don't think we, if it's just a child, then I don't think we would use the child. No. It's not respectful. It's not coveted tzibor for the congregation to be kufuf, to be, what's the right word for it? Deferential, to submit themselves to the bracha of a minor. So we would not put up a minor for Birchus Kohana if that's all we have. Okay. So one other answer that's given, and this is the one that Turi Evan actually prefers. He also quotes the Tos Yantif. The Li Nira, the Nafgami, Lahod Darmim, and Perigzayin, the Sota. So we learn in Masechus Sota an interesting case. What happens when you have a Beis HaKnesses Shekulon Kohanim? What happens when you have a shul that it's all comprised of Kohanim? So Kulon Olin L'Duchen, if it's all Kohanim, then they all go up for Duchen. Uparich, V'atanya, Shekulon, right, Beis HaKnesses Shekulon Kohanim, Miksasom, Miksasom, Onin Amin. But there's a Brisa that suggests that some Kohanim go up, some Kohanim stay down. So what do we do? Basically, let me just break down what that means. When there is only 10 Kohanim, strictly a mini of 10, all of them go up. When there's more than 10, so then 10 remain, and then someone else goes up. And so what you're going to ask, the Gemara asks this question. What's going to happen when all the Kohanim are up? Who are they blessing? So they're blessing their brethren, the Jewish people who are out there in the field somewhere. Apparently, Birchus Kohanim can travel far away if you really put in your kochos. So, Kamash Shalom Masnisan, Hecha Dishtar Be Asar, the Sussan Omen, Sussan Onen Amen, Da Mafter Benavihu, Echemin Olin Davkov, Lomen Onen Amen. So, what's this coming to teach us? So, in a case where there's more than a minion's worth of Kohanim, some will go up, some will stay back. It's to teach us that the guy who got half Torah, he gets preferential treatment, that he gets to be one of the Kohanim that actually does the duchening, instead of being one of the ones that has to stay in the crowd. Again, I think like the Turi Evan is definitely like trying to mix these two ideas together. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Mishnah. You know, he's kind of reading a lot in over there, but I do like the connection that he makes. Personally, I just from a pshat standpoint, like again, who am I to decide between all these gedolei olam? I do. It does resonate with me more strongly the reading that it's from the guy who helps lead the other kohanim, rather than it referring to a case of a Beis HaKnesses that's only kohanim. I just feel like the Mishnah would have to give us a little bit more of a hint in the text if that's what it was really referring to. But anyway, that's what the Turi Evan has to say.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, Shkayach everyone, that brings us to the end of tonight, and just giving you an update. I mean, shouldn't it affect our Gemaras here, I would hope. Starting this Sunday, Rabbi Cohen is going to be out of town. I plan to keep my regular schedule of Shiurim, but It means that I'm first in line for any life cycle related things that come up, which could come up anytime. So I'm hoping, God willing, everyone should live and be well and healthy, and there'll be nothing of that nature that comes up. But if anything does, just there might be some more last minute emails that come in. You shouldn't be alerted. Okay. Wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos, and thanks so much for logging on to learn together.
Rabbi. Can you stay on for a second?
Sure. Let me see if I can end the recording.